Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570 Taos in Baltimore, at Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years of mayhem around here. We're counting down our 25 stories of glory, presented by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I'm a blunt person shirt on. This guy was always a blunt person. We bring him on. But I want to say this before Joe Flacco appears here. We're doing a special Super Bowl week here in Baltimore. We're calling it a cup of soup or bowl of soup, and we're going to give you a cup of Maryland crab or a bowl of cream of crab if you bring some goods for the Maryland Food Bank. The entire week, we're calling it Crab Cake Row. The hell with Radio Row. That's out in Vegas. We're going to do Crab Cake Row here, beginning downtown at Faithley's on Monday. We'll be at Costas in Dundalk on Tuesday. We'll be at Coco's on Wednesday. We will be at State Fair in Catonsville on Thursday, and then up at Pappas on Friday, where we think we're going to have a Super Bowl party here because we think we're going to the Super Bowl. This guy here knows how it's done. He has done it before, and much like Coach Billick, they say, when you win a Super Bowl, they can never take it away from you, but that won't stop them from trying, and they've been trying for 11 years to take my man Joe Flacco's Super Bowl away. You know, dude, I wasn't going to bother you. I haven't bothered you since you went off to Denver, and I wrote you a love letter, and your father read it, and he liked it. I hope you liked it as well, and your wife, but I didn't know at what point our paths would cross again, and I could say to you, do you want to come on the show? I mean, you're playing for the Jets or the Eagles or the Broncos, and I didn't know. And then I saw you, like, doing the rounds last week and, like, telling your story, and I thought, I know Joe. I'm going to invite Joe on. Let Joe tell Joe's stories here. And how are you, man? You've given us a thrill, dude. This has been a lot of fun, and I hate the Browns. You know this.
Yeah, you know, I think I've gotten a lot of questions, honestly, about playing for them the last few weeks, the last couple months. And that's, I think, the one thing you're not sure of. Cause I had such a, you know, I have so many fond memories of Baltimore and the fans there. And, you know, obviously for me, it's my line of work and I'm excited to be playing football again. And it was a great city to be playing football in the last couple months, but you never know how, you know, you also love the people in Baltimore and you never know how they're going to feel about it. So it's one of those things that's kind of funny.
All right, so let's start with this. Your dad, who I've known before I knew you, I met him before I met you. I exchanged a text or two with him when you were in Cleveland having fun, and I've texted with you along the way, and you and I chatted this summer and kind of caught up as old pals or whatever. But your dad said some things about Baltimore and Cleveland that had you come here and played the other day, you probably would have gotten a little spicy in locker room and bulletin board material and all that. The Cleveland thing, dude, you made me root for the Browns. Damn you. You know what I mean? Like, I was rooting for you hard, and right. It was the weirdest thing in the world. But there was a part, Joe, I was there the day they lost the drive. I was there the day Elway went left to right. I was right in that stadium. I walked out of that stadium with we didn't have a team. We had lost our team 3 years. And I went out there for that game. Ernie, of course, he got me a ticket, and I walked out of that stadium silent. And to think, oh my God, 40 years later, we stole their team. You won. I had Brian on earlier. He won. They've had to watch all of this. And I've been out there every game for 30 years watching the same guy who sits in front of me in the club level, change the name on the back of his jersey, give us the finger. Yeah. Like, oh, I've dealt with all of that. But there's a point where, like, you want Detroit to win. You want Cleveland to win. And you wound up in a place that became something, a special part of your life that you couldn't have dreamed of on Thanksgiving Day, right? Literally.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I love playing football, and like they're just different chapters, you know, and to have the opportunity to play there after a couple of years and not really, you know, not doing exactly what I wanted. So to have the opportunity to do that and then have so many things that are different in my life at this point, you know, than they were when I was in Baltimore. So there's just things that make it special to the, you know, to the time period that I'm in right now. And, you know, I think there's times where you look back, it's like, oh man, like if I'm, you know, nothing's ever going to be like, winning the Super Bowl. But then you start to realize that, you know, you want to get back to that game and you don't think that winning it again would ever be like the first, but you know, there's unique things about going on that path and being able to have a taste of that in my mouth again that make it, you know, special in its own way. It's not like one or, you know, it's not like one thing is better than the other or this and that. They're their kind of own thing. And listen, I mean, it is funny being, playing so long in Baltimore and going to Cleveland and playing so long there and getting the feel for that stadium and that fan base from the opposite side. So to now, have that special place in my career, for that city as well, it's different. But like I said, it's like another chapter, and it was a lot of fun. And to be able to, to be able to share that with, probably even a bigger group of people at this point, whether that's through my kids or, through the people in town here, whether it was people like you, people in Baltimore that, as long as it wasn't like we were playing the Ravens, that you could have that maybe you could find a little room to root for the Browns for some in some way, so it was pretty cool.
There's enough evidence of you and me back in the day. All those videos are up on YouTube. Every conversation we have, my wife was fighting for her life the first time, the second time. There's all of that conversation. There's the I am the best. I think I'm the best. We'll get to that in a minute. But you and I talked over the summer, sort of off the record. We just kind of caught up. I think I was driving through or something. I'm up in Philly all the time for concerts. At some point, I'll drag you out for something interesting. I'll make you buy. I hear you did okay. You and I talked August, and you said to me, I want to play. And I talked to a handful of people in the real world. I'm like, I talked to Flacco. He said, I maybe even said it on the air. I talked to Flacco last week. He says he wants to play. And I don't want to say it's a punchline, but you're a 38, 39-year-old guy, wherever you are. Your speed had taken, when you played last year, you looked like a 30-something guy, not like a 24-year-old kid coming out of Delaware anymore. And sometime between then, and when you reappeared on that airplane going out to Cleveland, and I remember you going out there and they were desperate. We had seen their quarterbacks. And I thought, yeah, you'll go play there or you'll be the backup or whatever. And Luke even said flippantly on Monday, like, I don't think they think he's gonna play. I think they need another guy. It's late November, he didn't playbook, whatever. What did you do? I mean, honestly, what physically have you done for yourself? Are you doing that Tom Brady 12 thing? Are you eating avocado ice cream? I mean, like what? Seriously, what did you do the last 8 months to get into the kind of condition where you look faster and stronger?
I think it's just a bullshit opinion of me. I think that's just what people have kind of steered their mind into thinking about me. And maybe you can look at a game here or there, but I think when you look at the games I played in last year, not with the Browns, I'm saying, for you to have that opinion, that's your thing. I mean, I think you're probably looking back at what maybe you think of me. But situations matter too. I mean, when quarterbacks have pressure on them, they're not given the ability to move around and do some things that they are when they don't have that same kind of consistent stuff going on. So, listen, I think I found myself in a good situation in Cleveland, not only because of, the city was excited to win some football, but because we had a talented football team and we were ready to win. But yeah, ultimately, I just think people have the wrong opinion if they want to think that way. I mean, and obviously that's me talking. It's obviously I probably have a different opinion of myself than most people. But like I said, I think it was awesome to be able to get go into a situation and get the opportunity to play on a team that was ready to win football games. And I don't know what they were initially thinking when they brought me in. And I don't know what really got them to the point where they were willing to bring me in. But I'm definitely grateful that they were willing, whatever the reason was, I'm super grateful that they were willing to give me that opportunity. And for me, I didn't really care. I saw it. I kind of thought there could be some value in sitting at home during that time of the year. In my case, it wasn't like I had a choice. It wasn't like I turned a couple of teams down because I didn't feel like that was the right fit, and I was going to sit around and make and wait for that good fit to come in. Like, I didn't have any calls. So at that point, it was getting late in the year, and I just saw it as a good opportunity, no matter what the outcome was to be. So I kind of went in there with an open mind and went and worked out and did this, did that. And next thing you find yourself on the field. And it was awesome. I mean, yeah, you talk about all that stuff, but in terms of like, being older and, can he move around and this kind and this and that. I mean, listen, that's not a big part of my game. It's not naturally what I kind of think to do on the field. Most of the time I naturally kind of hang on to things and want to play in the pocket. But like I said, our team played really well and had a lot of good parts. So it afforded me the ability here and there to make some plays that, you know, maybe you haven't seen made in the few years. But I'm super grateful for New York too. New York kept me in the league the last 3 years. And I've played games each year there, and we haven't won. We didn't win, but I mean, made some unbelievable relationships with guys that I played with. And we were fighting our asses off to win football games. But I'm also super, super grateful for that part of my career, because that, you know, without those 3 years and without those guys being willing to sign me, you know, coming off of a neck injury and all that, then this opportunity never would have happened. But having said all that, like, I'm super, not only am I grateful, I'm proud of how I played last year with New York. I mean, I played against Miami the last game of the season last year. We scored 6 points, I think. Like, we did not light the world on fire. But, like, if you ask me, I mean, I'll watch that film with anybody. Like I said, I was proud of what I put out there on the film, and could hold my head up high about it. And at that point, you know, I know I wanted to play, but I also know kind of what's out there and what maybe people are thinking. I did not know if I was ever going to get the opportunity to do it again. So it gives you a little bit of a different perspective, and you learn how to appreciate it all, you know, just a little bit more than maybe you did when you were 23 years old and took some things for granted.
Taken away from you, right? Like, literally, it feels, when you've been doing it your whole life, it feels like it's been taken away from you, right?
Yeah. You know,
when you want to play and you still, and you're convinced, yeah, you could play, even nobody else in the world was convinced you could play, but you came back and you convinced everybody you could play.
Yeah. Hey, exactly. You know how many times there's people that say that and it's like, oh yeah, sure, this and that. I mean, like I said, you guys are thinking that. So just to have the opportunity to go do that. And like, I don't care like what people think, like it's about being able to go out there and play again and just feel what it feels like to win an NFL game again. You know how much joy that it just takes you back. I mean, I've said it a million times this year, it takes you back to being 10, 11, 12 years old. And now I have 10, 11, you know, I have kids that are that age. So going back to like what just makes this a unique experience and different than any other is like, I'm sharing it with, you know, five little kids that, you know, couldn't, there's nobody else in the world that I'd rather have a part of this. And you don't think about that when you're young and you're starting to have those guys, and you're not thinking about getting a chance to play in front of them, sharing this with them. So to have that was really cool.
I talked to you in August. I want to go back to this. Like, you wake up every day in September, October, November, not believing you can play, because you're a pretty confident bloke, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can say that a lot, because like, I'm going to be 55 years old and go out to the park and be like, yeah, I can still do it. You know what I mean? So it's not like that. It's not like that, that comment or phrase like holds much weight. Of course, I'm literally going to be saying that forever. And at some point it's not going to be true. But you know, I don't think that's right now. I don't think it is.
But you staying dedicated to your craft, to be in the kind of position to take a call against all odds, believing, it's not shocking you believe in yourself or to believe the phone would ring, but what were you doing? What does an unemployed quarterback who's a made guy, who's 38 with kids running everywhere, and I've been to your house up in that, like, what gets you in a position to walk into Cleveland and be ready to play football in 8 days?
Well, I think, listen, you can do a lot physically and make sure that you're in the best shape of your life. And are you actually in the best shape of your life? I don't know. But like, for what your situation is right now, you can make sure that you're making the most of it. It's an extended off season. You're keeping your arm in shape. Not going overboard, that's for sure. I kind of know, I know my arm a little bit, and I know what I have to do to keep that in shape. And it's not like I was throwing the live targets, but you adapt to that. You've been doing that for years. You keep your body in shape because that's become such a big part of who you are. You've been doing it for 15 years, 16 years.
Were you
The
throwing
first
football
couple,
to your kids in September? I mean, like, were you
of
picking up a
course,
football
yeah.
every
Little
day?
mini footballs for the most part. I was playing, listen, I was steady quarterback out in the front lawn for many months there, but I think at the end of the day, all the physical stuff aside, it's just keeping your mind open to something like that happening. And then controlling your expectations to the point that you can just go out there and let it fly and play football for what and not make it bigger than what it is. So I just think ultimately going out there and performing on Sundays, yeah, physical stuff aside, it's about keeping your mind in that right frame to go out there and do it. And part of that for me this fall was not becoming, was actively trying to not become, bitter about not being out there and believing that you can still do it. And man, why am I not out there then? To some extent, trying to just control what I can control, and see what happens from there. And I think that that's what kind of got me to the point where when it did happen, I was able to at least take advantage of it to the best of my ability, because I kept my mind in that, positive state that I wasn't, I wasn't in a negative place when I did get that call. I wasn't bitter in any way. I was just trying, I knew that I, could kind of control a few things, and I did those things, and I said, all right, now I can just go out there and lay it and lay myself out there and see what happens.
To work when they hand your playbook in the middle of the season, you don't know any of your teammates, you come in there, you don't know their names. I mean, you were in a way different situation in New York where they wanted you in camp, and like, you even though you didn't play a lot, we didn't see you a lot, you were a part of everything they did. You were part of nothing they did, and you helicopter in, and they're fighting for playoff lives. The defense was good, known Schwartz forever. Like, that must have been the most bizarre thing you've ever dealt with. I mean, even more than transferring back when you were a kid to Delaware, just sort of like helicoptering in. I mean, it's just a strange thing, right?
I think learning the offense and getting the playbook, that ends up being the easy part. I remember I played the Rams in the first game, and I had been there for a little bit over a week at that point. And maybe you have an opportunity here and there to show these guys that they can trust you, that you can play football. But you don't really have that much time. And if you do, it's a couple little routes that you run in practice. You get 1 week of practice to show these guys the best of your ability, that you can play and you deserve to be here and you're going to help them win. But there's no way that they can possibly believe that within a week, So that's always, it's what makes it so special, is becoming part of that, of a locker room, becoming part of a team. But there's definitely, it can be daunting. You're
You're like a
walking
kid from
into this.
another neighborhood that just walked in, like
Yeah,
literally,
you're the
like, and they're
new
like, they don't
kid.
know you, right?
You're the new kid, and you want to be a part of the team, and you want to help them, but you also need to prove to them that they should be able to rely on you to help them. And it's such a, you don't get many chances to do that. And it wasn't like you had a lot of time to adapt. These guys were in a position to be in the playoff. We were in a position to be in a playoff, to be a playoff team. And I felt the urgency to go out there and play well. And it was important to me. It's always important to become a part of that locker room and make and have your impact and become one of those guys. And I'll give credit to the guys in that locker room. They did make it as easy as possible for me. It was a great group of guys. I think they had a great foundation. You could see how close of a group they were and why they had so much success up to that point. And like I said, that can be a daunting thing, But it's so rewarding in the end when you can go out there and you know you've prepared for that situation, and then you can make the most of it, and you make new relationships and just have an unbelievable time playing winning football and getting your chance to compete for what we all want to.
Is there a point in all this where, you win and you're banged up, you played with a purple hip at one point, as I remember it, in the playoffs, and your neck was screwed up? I mean, that Kiko Alonso hit, I still like, for all of this and having the game taken away from you, and they didn't allow you to play earlier this year. This memory you made with your family, at the end with your kid. I mean, when your kids ran out onto the set, after that game, I'm screenshotting that and I'm putting it up, and I was thrilled for all of it for you. But this is like, you're going to play more, right? Like, you're not done.
Yeah,
Like, and
listen.
that's not about it. This isn't about is Cleveland bringing you back and Deshaun Watson and all that. It
Right,
just feels to me
right.
like somebody else is going to value you here in the offseason. I've seen other quarterbacks in the league. It feels to me like you're going to have a job somewhere if doing something, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, this was another chapter of my career. I do not want it to be the last. Me saying that I can still play isn't like I want to go out there and play a few more games and have some fun and see you later. This is what I love to do, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and getting the opportunity to do that for a few weeks this year, it reminds you of that. Getting the opportunity to sit at home this year because nobody wanted me reminds you of how much you still want to do it. And yeah, having the added extra things in my life that make it even more exciting. At some point my family was coming down to Baltimore, and it was, my parents and my wife and my brothers. And now I have kids and nephews and in-laws and nieces and nephews and friends in town. And it's just like, the family is just expanding constantly, and you get to enjoy it with more people and share it with more people. And it just makes it that much more fun. But it's not just about having fun. I believe I can play, and I still want to. I mean, my kids coming onto the set, geez Louise, I they asked me if I wanted to like have them come on while I was getting interviewed. I was like, leave them out of it. Get them over there, get them as far away as possible. And during the end of that interview, they just went over and grabbed them. I was like, okay, here we go. I guess they're coming on.
I sent the
But
screenshot to your dad right
I'm
away
like,
because I was like, this is pretty good, dude. You've done a
I'm like,
lot
I
of
guess
stuff.
it'll Yeah, it'll be. It was cool for them. I mean, listen, it was a cool couple weeks for them. They could go into the school and, put on a Cleveland Browns hoodie for a couple weeks and take some pride in it. So, it was pretty neat.
Well, it got me get Mr. Tenier out to talk about your calculus class back in the day. I had him on a couple weeks ago up there in Jersey. Joe Flacco is our guest. He's going to play more football, I guess. So 2 weeks ago, you're playing this big shot game, wild card. We got the week off because we're the one seed and all that. NFL Films writes to me and they're like, "Hey, we have this clip of Joe Flacco out at WNST. Will you sign the permission slip so that we can use it? It was your, I don't think I, I think I'm the best, quote." And the little
Right.
thing you did that night,
Right. Yeah.
all these years later, the thing that pissed me off was watching you play well and watching Ravens fans defecate upon you in some way. But the thing that bothered me the most, knowing you, and the thing that I get antsy on your behalf to defend you, not just as a media member or whatever, but just knowing truth from bullshit, as you would say, is that you were disinterested on the sidelines and removed from teammates and quiet, and you showed this fire in Cleveland that wasn't here, and running down and touchdowns and gun in the arm. And I'm like, you might want to go back and watch Joe Flacco's fire and ire at various points. Sometimes Joe Flacco was worn out with children and worn out with swing passes and worn out with getting crushed. And there was a point for you where maybe some of the joy was taken out of the game, despite all the money, despite like there were times where that maybe this wasn't fun for you in some way, but the fun part of Cleveland came back. But you always wanted this to be fun, and I never thought of you as this joyless, passionless guy that some fans, because you weren't pounding on the ground when you failed, they
Yeah,
did they,
exactly.
you were never that guy, ever.
I think that was always a bunch of shit as well. I think if you look back, you can dispel that very easily. But I'm not a crybaby. I'm never going to be a crybaby when things don't go my way. And obviously, there were a few years there where we weren't winning football games. And yeah, that's never fun, but to have the joy taken out of it, never. And yeah, that's always a bunch of crap, man. I mean, that's just from people that don't really know me, and there's no reason that they should know me. I mean, it's not like I'm making it no, it's not like I'm making it, you know, and then I don't make it a point to kind of put my personality out there and let people know me. The teammates part of it, that, I mean, that can get you a little bit, but you know that that's a bunch of crap, so it doesn't really affect you at the end of the day. But for people to even have that thought, it is just kind of funny. It's just one of those, it's just a storyline too, that once it gets out there, it can affect the way that people think about you, as much as it's not true. Even saying something like, "Oh yeah, I'm the best," you in some way it's out of context, you know. And what do you want me to say? When the question's asked, of course I'm going to put it on them. I ask my kids every night, "Who's the best? Who's the man?" They are. They're the best. I don't care if that wasn't the case that day. They're the best, and you better think that way. And you better put your kids, and you need to be put in situations where you're going to overcome things so that you can think you're the best. And you know, that's the only, you have to develop that mindset through failures and through successes, and all those different things. But in order to be successful in this league, listen, man, it's a bunch of men that are coming for your job and want to win the ultimate thing. So you better, you know, you better be able to handle that. And I just think it's a lot of, it's probably being misunderstood a little bit, and I could care less about it being misunderstood. So as soon as those stories kind of start to take a life of their own, it is what it is, and then that's out there. But you know, I think that's obviously the furthest thing from the truth. It just, you know, it is my personality to a certain extent. You know, I'm going to be a low-key guy. I don't want to get up too high and down too low, and sometimes those things, you're going to get picked on for them, and it's just part of it.
Anything you want to say about Lamar? You saw him come in. He came to take your job. He's been what he promised to be. He went through. Talk about your disrespect. Nobody wanted to hire him last year. Nobody wanted to pay him what he was worth last year. And now he stands on the cusp of doing something that a lot of folks thought he couldn't do. I mean, you had gimmick offense, gadget, high school. You know, there were things they were doing 6 years ago that they're not doing now and doing differently and building personnel around him. But this is an amazing story unto itself. Lamar's an amazing story, you know,
Yeah,
that
well, Lamar's
you
another
and
guy.
he are
Like,
linked in that way, right?
Lamar's another guy. I mean, he's proven himself to be a tough kid that goes out there and just plays football, and that's what he wants to do. It's about winning football games. You don't see too much fluff and you know, all that crap from him either. He goes out there and he plays football, and he plays it hard every single week. So you got to respect that.
Hey man, I respect you, and go. You got too many kids to be spending anyway. You're done, dismissed. Go. So, anything
Yeah.
you want to say about your kids and your family and what you do now that you had? I mean, you blinked, dude. It was like 5 weeks. Boom, in out. Now you're back in Jersey and you're Dad Joe again, and figuring out what you know what the next thing is. But you're real happy with this part of your life, right? Like you're you want to be playing football this week and next week, but this you've got a good thing going in your real world, right?
Of course. Listen, I think most people do. Most people try their best to, you know, I don't know, be a good parent and be a good husband and have fun with that part of it. So yeah, listen, I think as an NFL player, you're awarded a unique, you're given a unique situation where you have the ability to be home with your kids a good amount, whether it's in the season or in our off season. Yeah, listen, it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of, you know, busy work and stuff that you have to get up and tell yourself, all right, we're going to do this because it's what we need to do to make these kids the best they can possibly be. So there's a lot of things to it, but every parent knows that. It's a lot of fun, and it's cool to be around here while these guys are at the age they are and be able to enjoy it with them.
Well, I've had a lot of fun defending your honor all these years later because I am your apologist here, and you know, I am the guy that always reminds them. you won a Super Bowl here. You were, you know, you did something here until it's done again. Hadn't been done too often around here, but it's going to be fun watching Lamar try to win here the next couple weeks. And it's been a lot of fun having you around. And take care of your kids up in Jersey. I have no doubt that we have not heard or seen the last of you. So I will await to find out what your future is, and we'll be watching. And don't go play for the Steelers. Don't make me root for them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you've already done enough, dude. Thanks for coming
all
on.
All right, Nestor. Yeah, we'll see
Joe
you.
Flacco, Super Bowl MVP, joining us here. We're doing the Cup of Soup or Bowl the week of February the 5th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Window Nation, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We're talking to lots and lots of folks here this week about something we have not had here since 1971, an AFC Championship game. I'm back for more on Baltimore Positive right after this.